Welcome to Stories and Stanza, the podcast that delves into past, explores the world of prose and poetry, and brings you real-life stories, creativity, motivation, and poetry. Join us every week as we take you on a journey through the human experience, sharing inspiring stories and conversations that will lift your spirit and leave you feeling motivated and inspired. Whether you're a lover of literature, a writer, or simply someone who enjoys a good story, Stories and Stanza is the podcast for you. So sit back, relax, and let us take you on a journey of discovery, reflection, and inspiration. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for joining me today on this new episode of Stories and Stanza. And before I tell everyone about what this episode is, can you please give a brief introduction for the listeners?
Of course. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. I'm delighted and it's much appreciated. A little bit about me. I'm retired. I live in Central America near Boquete, Panama. I retired from being a behavioral consultant and a master coach. And I am passionate about emotional intelligence and mindfulness. I am an avid learner. I love learning about everything, but I am currently very focused on spirituality, not religion, and the nature of forgiveness. I always like to ask the question, what else could be true? And it keeps me curious. That's a little about me, and the rest of it is just a lot of blah, blah, blah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I'm sure we will have a few episodes and we'll talk about many interesting aspects that you mentioned. And just wanted to give everyone an understanding of what this series is about. We are calling this Fail With Me. And with the title, I don't want people to think that it's something negative. Like, we're starting something new and we are using a negative word like failure. And I have our guest here who will help us navigate through the word and dealing with certain emotions that come with it. And we'll see how it kind of affects us in everyday life, in big things and small things. So the reason behind this is, whenever I read a self-help article, it says, oh, you're doing this wrong. There are 5 steps to do this right. There are 10 steps to do this right. And when I read it, it kind of gives me a stigma that, I am doing something wrong. It always assumes the reader is doing something wrong. And from there, I came up with this title that whenever I talk about inspiration, I'll let people know that I have failed. And it is perhaps okay to fail sometimes. So please join me in this conversation about failure. So Sarah, the first thing I wanted to ask you is that failure has such a negativity around it. And how do you feel about it? Can we address failure and come to some sort of acceptance about it?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that question first, because it is 100% correct. And I think what happens is that we're taught from an early age that failure is a bad thing, in that it is the end destination. So you study for a test and you fail, and that's it, you failed. Or you tried to get a job and you didn't get it, so you failed. And I don't think that we're taught that failure is just a part of the process of success. And I think that we also don't define what failure is. So, for example, if you were to ask someone what failure is, they might only be able to tell you it's a lack of success. But if I asked you then what does success look like, you may not be able to define that either. And
Exactly.
yeah, and so sometimes we feel really angry or sad or upset because we have self-determined that we failed, when in reality, oh, but we don't even know what it was we might have, done to fail or what we really failed at. And so the feelings are nebulous, and sometimes even the definition of what failure is for us is nebulous.
Yeah, thank you for giving such a deep thought about it. And you know what? This is something my daughter asked me earlier this week. Dad, there's probably going to be a test. What if I fail it?
Oh.
And and it's something that I guess we are trained to think that it's failure. It's something bad. It's a set of expectations maybe. Right?
Well, this is it. I mean, I'm not gonna, I don't want anyone to think that I am like standing in the corner going, "Yay, I hope you fail." What I am saying is that sometimes failure is a necessary part of the process. For example, if your daughter studied and doesn't do well on the test, it is an opportunity to do what I like to call fail forward, where she failed to achieve a good grade. But then you go back and you say, what can I learn? Did I study the wrong way? Did I not study enough? Did I study the wrong things? Was I distracted? Was I not? I mean, then you get this opportunity to go back and say, what could I do differently? But Oprah, what ends up happening is you fail a test, and most people just beat themselves up. They don't learn anything.
Exactly,
They just,
yes.
I'm a horrible person. I'm a monster. I'm stupid. I'm whatever. And there is literally nothing good that comes from it. And I can only tell you that my successes in my life are a direct result of my failures. That I learned the hard lesson that failure has to be a stepping stone to success, not an obstacle.
Yes. And interestingly, I just it just made me think that some of the conversations I had with my dad about success and failure. So when I took a decision to move to Australia, it was a long time ago. And then my dad said, "You are going to fail. You don't
Oh.
know anything."
And
And
here's how did that make you feel when someone you love so much said that to you? That crushed you, didn't it?
It did, and I couldn't explain to him what was the rationale behind my decision. So, and then when my brother grew up, he looked up to me and he moved out of the home like he was destined to go and explore the world as he wanted to, and I think that in a way, I set a positive example in the family, that you don't be clouded by the fear of failure.
Well, and to be honest, many people fail, Oprah, because they are afraid not even of failure, but they're afraid of success, and they're not even aware of that. Because sometimes people are taught that, success can also be scary. Well, then if I succeed, everybody's going to be looking at me and I'll be very visible. And the higher, what's the phrase? The higher you rise, the harder you fall. So
Yes.
it's not a good idea for someone who's listening to this podcast who has failed to say, I'm a failure, because nobody is a failure. We fail. And I love, love, love the title that you picked, Fail With Me, because you and I have failed as many times as we have succeeded. And the only difference between us and someone who feels like they're a failure is that we recognized the need to learn from the failures. And I hope in a future episode we can talk about how do we learn from our failures.
I have so many questions that I want to ask you. And, you know, interestingly, this another idea about failure I thought I'll bring up in our like initial discussions is, you know, people ask me that in relationships, you know, that there are successes and failures. And it kind of affects people quite a lot. So,
let me interrupt you and say, what is a success look like and what does a failure look like? Because in your culture and in Australia, in your generation, it looks different than someone else in Australia who's from a different culture and a different generation.
I'm sure it looks very, very different. Why I asked that question is, I'll try to answer both. So, in my previous generations, like when I looked at my parents and when I looked at some of my uncles and aunts, etc. So, what I feel is that in some cases it lacked a little bit of balance. Okay, maybe there was more pressure and expectation than the balance.
Yes, of course, yes, because it's when we don't have balance or spoken expectations.
Yes, and this is something I guess what I think personally, and in many cases, I think very differently from my family, I'll tell you that.
Right.
So, for example, you know, my extended family would always have some kind of opinion about parenting and things like that. And my thinking is very different from them. And I tell my daughter that, you know, go try this, okay? You will know whether it's for you or not.
Love okay. That.
So you can fail, you can enjoy this. Both can happen, and you will find what is right for you, as opposed to me telling you, okay? But I'll go back to the previous question once, because that links to the understanding of failure a bit. So one of my friends asked me that he was struggling in his marriage, and he asked me that, you know, how do you cope it up, and how does relationship work, how is that so perfect? And I told him that, you know, I had my share of challenges, and I had my our troubles, and we solved them quickly, sometimes it took a longer time to navigate that, understand that. As I was saying, like, we had a few health problems last couple of years, and it took us a long time to come out of it, okay? But only thing that we did was giving it the time it needed, okay? And what happens in today's world, and this is what hurts me a little bit, is there is so much expectation on this perfectionism. Like, people think, oh, this is perfect, oh, their relationship is perfect, this is so good, and I am a failure. So I think somewhere it's defined by what others think about it. We let other people determine what is success and failure. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And you've also touched on something else I think we need to talk about, is perfectionism versus excellence. That many people identify failure because it isn't perfect, but the reality is it is excellent. And there's a big difference between the two, and we can talk about that. I also want to be sure, I don't believe that relationships, even marriage, are forever. And I think that that is something that is taught in many, many cultures, that relationships are forever. And so when it isn't right anymore, when someone grows a different way or becomes a different person or counseling doesn't work, or time doesn't work, or they just don't like each other anymore. That there is only one option, and that is a hostile failure. And it's always ugly. But what if we taught people, even if it's friendships or dating, you know, I'm not trying to change anybody's beliefs about marriage. I'm just saying for me, but what if we changed it to where there doesn't have to be a bad guy? That we can just say there's not a failure. We just aren't compatible anymore. And I still want the best for you, but we aren't taught that. Let's go back to what we said earlier. We're taught that it looks like this. Success looks like this. And so anything short of that is failure. And that's an unhealthy perspective.
Exactly. I absolutely agree on that thought. And I want to talk about this a little bit more in some of the next episodes. So we will come back to this this question. So failure in like friendship and relationship is something that I want to give that a dedicated time of its own. I just brought it up because the chat reminded me of it.
Absolutely.
So we talk about a little bit about understanding failure and success. So the next thing I wanted to ask you is that, we have failed on something. So how do we forgive ourselves? Like, how do we not go and beat ourselves up about it and go easy, not dwell on the mistakes?
Yeah. But that's a that's like two or three episodes, right? The short version is that we are not taught, by and large, most people are not taught how to love themselves. Girls are taught that it is, conceited. And boys tend to be taught to take care of other people, and that if they fail, they're not man enough, or they're not good enough, or whatever. And so the ability to forgive ourselves really comes back to our ability to love ourselves, that we give ourselves grace. We understand what we're feeling is disappointment or whatever, but that we still love the deepest part of ourselves. And most people, most people don't even like themselves. I mean, they're and they spend so much time. The sad fact of the matter is most people spend a lot of time distracting themselves from uncomfortable thoughts. And so they work, and they work really hard, or they work too much. And then they come home and watch TV, or they play video games, or they're always going out to dinner or dancing or whatever. But if you were to ask someone to spend even 2 minutes, and I'm not being sarcastic, if you asked someone to spend 2 minutes in a room, in silence, just breathing, they probably couldn't do it. And so our ability to sit with ourselves is really the root of being able to forgive, to love and forgive ourselves.
Yes, I wanted to mention something here that I was reading one of your posts some time back, and it touched me so deeply. Okay, so as looking back in my life, and I was like really, really mad at some people. Okay, and I realized that the grudge or the angst I had, like I was kind of harboring in myself, if I just say it out loud that I forgive you, or I let you go, then I heal from that heart that I'm keeping to myself. It was I really did this exercise. I cannot remember exactly what post this was, and I read it and I said to myself that this person, you did this, but I forgive you. Okay, and it felt really good that you know, I'm not hurting from that anymore.
Well, and a lot of times, I mean, Oprah, what we have to determine is, what do we need? Like, if you hurt me, if you like, this is not a, I mean, this is also about forgiving ourselves, but when we're also trying to forgive other people who maybe played a role in us failing, or your dad who said, well, you're going to fail, how do we forgive them? Is, we have to decide, what is it that you need? And you have to let go of that. Because, you know, particularly in your case, when your dad is not ever going to be able to apologize, you're never going to be able to have that conversation.
Yes.
You have to be able to say, what do I need? And then you have to be able to let that go. Because forgiveness, I mean, come on, when I say you need to forgive me, what does that mean? I mean, really. Nobody really ever explains what that means. And so I think when you say it out loud, I forgive you, I let go, you're letting go of that need to hurt that other person or to make them pay for what they did. Because it'll never be enough. Restitution of any kind, an apology, nothing is ever going to really make it right. You have to let go of it from your end.
Yes, and these topics that we are touching upon, it really needs an episode on its own. Like when we talk about loving yourself, when you are talking about dwelling on the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and can you so when we do a past mistake, like how do we sort of let go? It's one of these things is the attachment and that expectation that okay, something is well, I really like the way you explained this in your post, and more people should try to reflect that. Like I know a lot of people that they are hurting, and they read that, I think it would make a lot of sense, right?
Well, thank you. You know, the other thing to remember is, a lot of times when we're dwelling on the past, it's because we're trying to make sense of it. We're trying to understand what happens. That's our lizard brain, which the lizard brain is the most primitive part of our brain. And until we can learn to recognize when it is acting up, and until we can learn to control it or control our response to it, we can be stuck in a cycle of loathing and dwelling for a long time. And failure is, I'm going to say this and then I'll fix it. Failure is a myth. Okay, think about it. Failure means that I didn't meet an expectation. Okay, but whose expectation? What were all the dynamics that kept me from making that goal or reaching that goal? I mean, I think if we just say, oh, I failed, then basically we tripped over a rock, and instead of looking at the rock where we tripped, we look at where we fell.
Yep.
And so we have to look at what is tripping us up. And sometimes failure is just an inability for us to see our worth and our value and to pursue the things that really are meaningful to us.
Exactly. On that note, I wanted to share something I heard from one of my therapists a few years ago. And she said that I'm trying to be rational for an irrational problem. Like I have a problem and I'm trying to understand that, navigate that. Why did that happen? And do not think about it like it's a switch of that can just go on and off, or it's like just a computer where you can give 2 + 2 and you get an answer and the problem is gone. Like many times the problem is difficult to understand. Like, we don't know why it happened, but we get so hung up that why it happened. And
Right.
then we burden ourselves with that thought of failure. Do you think that that is true?
I do. And when we do have some of the discussions, particularly about emotional intelligence, I'm going to give you a tool that you can post in a link, I guess, for your reader or mm-hmm. listeners. It's called a feeling wheel. And basically, it's just a...
Yes, you told this to me earlier. Yes, it's fantastic. Yeah. It is really good.
It's fantastic.
Now tell us about it.
Well, so in this case that you've given, you're trying to be rational for an irrational problem. So you failed or you didn't achieve a goal and you feel a certain way. You might feel angry. I might feel sad. Someone else might feel, fearful. But the point is to keep digging down to what are you feeling versus what happened. Because sometimes, like you said, we may never know why the things that happen. And what we do have control over is understanding ourselves. And so I think you're exactly right that we do try to be rational for an irrational situation. And you, nor I, nor anybody who's listening, can control how you feel. You can't. You think you might, and you might stuff it or suppress it. But the reality is you can only control how you react to how you feel. The question is, what happens next? And at that point, you regain control of whatever situation has happened.
Correct. We are very superficial, and this is our first episode. I'm sure we will have lots to talk about each of these areas. But I'm hoping that this is giving our listeners a moment to reflect, and I'll definitely keep a link of the will, and I'm sure it is going to help others as well. And we will come back to like this in another episode, and we kind of understand this a little bit better. Okay, and then I have one last question for today's session. And again, before that, I'll thank you because I did something.
Thank you. It's a joy to talk to you.
So yesterday I was not having a very good day. Okay. And I was in a meeting, and I really wanted that meeting to end sooner, and it was just getting dragged on and on, and I kind of lost my temper, and I was like visibly angry, and I said who I was angry with, and then I was thinking, then I came out of the meeting, and still I was not feeling all right, because I was thinking that I've become angry, I've kind of heated up myself, and I'm not coming back to my normal. Okay. And then I remembered that you wrote something that we are not our best every day. And that was a fantastic thought, and I really want you to explain that a little bit more.
Sure.
For everyone.
The concept of failure, I think, is tied into the unhealthy and inaccurate belief that we need to be our best every day, and best is defined at 100%. And, we have to be all these other things. And the reality of it is that I think we have to move from what is the best I can do today, and the best changes from every day. I think our best changes from day to day. So in this case, your best was you probably could have been more angry. You probably kept your anger in check a little. The thing about being our best, it looks different. You're tired one day. You're overwhelmed one day. You're distracted one day. So I think the thing is that you the question of doing or being your best has to come back to, are you doing your best right in this moment with what you have to work with? And that's the only definition of are you doing your best. And okay, so you lost your temper, and that is not how you wanted to respond. So then you say, well, you know, that wasn't my 100%, but in that moment, that was the best I could do.
Exactly. And, yes.
Yeah. And so,
and that is what I told myself, that this is not how what I wanted to be, but that is one of, it's like I took that as a failure, that I shouldn't have lost my temper. And then I went back to what you wrote, and what I read about in this post, saying that you don't have to be your best. And I said that to myself a few times, and I calmed myself down.
Well, and there, I think so we have to say, you know, my phrase is, I'm doing the best that I can. And then, like in this case, you lost your temper. The other question is, what happened next? Did you make it right? Did you apologize? Did you, are you going to learn some techniques that will perhaps help you in the future? Whether it's a failure or not really comes down to, and I mean, there are failures, but I think whether it's a failure is this a pattern? That's the other important thing, because patterns in behavior matter. If you're losing your temper all the time, then that's a pattern, and it's a failure to control your temper. But you're not a failure. You see? Do you see the difference in the logic there?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, I do. And no, I think that makes perfect sense. And I wanted to keep like each episode around half an hour, so
sure.
We have reached that time. So okay. I'm sure that it has given our listeners something to think about, and we will definitely come back with.
Well, thank you so much next... for having me on your show. It's a joy to visit with you and to talk about these things.
It was lovely talking to you about it. Thanks, everyone who listened. Okay, the episode should go live by this weekend. So yeah, and I'll share the links. Thanks you once again. Cheers. Bye bye.
Oh wait, are you gonna read a poem? You gotta read your poem. You told me you were gonna read a poem today.
I can. So the idea of this podcast was stories and stanza. So we bring up stories and we bring up a little bit of poetry along with it as well. So okay, so here is something I've written recently. So to end the episode, I'll add the poem. Some days when it's pouring and I have no umbrella or shade to wait out the rain, a car passes by, splattering all over me. I curse and then chuckle. I would have made a miserable sign for a hotel. However miserable, I live here, the persona I wear, the sky I live in every day. Someone uncouth splatter insults, besmirch my repute, tarnish my spirit. I cannot stop them, carving away a piece of me. I can wake up anew. We get damaged a little every day. Why not heal as well?
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.